Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 245 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here this week. How are you, young lady?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. What have you been up to this week?
Oh, what have I been doing?
Because last week you said, I think, on at least on one of the versions of the programme, I don't know. So do you know what you've been doing this week? Have you taken notes?
Oh, well, I've been doing a bit of gardening because the weather's been a bit nicer, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, I've done that. I went to visit my friend at the weekend in Andover.
Mm-hmm.
It was her daughter's birthday, and that was lovely.
Okay, that's all
yes.
good.
Yes.
That's nice.
What have you been doing, Jason?
Oh, nothing much. I do know, but I'm just not telling
You're
you
not
this week.
You're not
going
to tell me.
No. So... What's coming up on the show this week, though?
We are going to be having a look at the Brood Music Festival and we'll be talking to Angus Parker, who's going to tell us all about that.
The Vice Chairman of the Committee on the phone. Also, we'll be having music from The Sound of the Ladies and Martin Ostrich will be on the line via Skype to tell us more about him and his music.
And then you may know this name for other things. Pete Moody is going to be discussing the Beacon Centre for the Blind and their latest venture.
He's a local celebrity, I tell you, but there we go. That's all good. But first of all, you find me now at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, where Fame the Musical arrives as part of its brand new 2014 tour. And with me, Jodie Steele, who plays Carmen Diaz, the lead in the show. Hello.
Hello.
So, a brand new tour, a fantastic show, I'm sure. And you're not anywhere near old enough to remember Fame from the 80s, are you?
No, I was definitely born in 1991, so I wasn't even born then. But I know it very well, you know. I've loved it when I was younger. I watched the film and everything, so...
I was made to watch the TV series by my sister, who used to live on a Friday night. It was absolute. It's a joy, to be fair. But this is a brand new production, so it's set in 2014. Is the present day at the New York High School for the Performing Arts? Tell us a little more about the production.
Okay, so people can expect the same lovable, iconic Fame that, you know, everybody loves from the 80s. The songs are still the same songs, but they've been updated to music that you'd hear today now in the charts. There's dubstep in there, R&B in there, there's acoustic music in there, there's rock music. Everything has just been updated for our generation, and now the fashion is now... the staging is now, and the story's grittier, it's dirtier, it's more truthful. We don't beat around the bush. It's not as cheesy as it used to be. It's very real, and you know, we've had tears in the audience, tears of laughter and tears of sorrow. So it's a new Fame. It's amazing.
Is there still lycra and leg warmers?
Not really. I mean, there is lycra in there occasionally. Yeah, we do get our leotards on, and we've still got Iris with our leg warmers. But no, you know, the bright coloured leg warmers and headbands have been replaced with baggy trousers and high tops and flat caps. So, yeah.
And how realistic for this story is it for your tale of getting into the arts? Because yeah. It's a tale of getting into the arts by people who are in the arts. So yeah. Can you identify with it?
Yeah, most of us have actually just recently graduated. In fact, four of us in this cast have come from Guildford School of Acting and we graduated in August. And so it's basically like going back in time, you know, going back to school again. And I think because the cast is so young and so fresh and many of us are graduates, we have... You know, that's realism there for us because we have just done that. We have just trained it. We know how competitive, we know how on it you have to be. And, you know, your friends are also your competition and you have to be good at all, you know, music, singing, dancing, acting, everything that we say, you know, how it's all hard work is true. So we're just, you know, playing other people but doing what we've just done. So it's quite interesting and it's like revisiting 6 months ago.
And being set in New York, it's a good test for the accents as well because you've got to transport everybody to the Big Apple.
Yeah, I've actually had quite fun with that because obviously I'm playing Carmen, who's a Latina, New York Bronx Latina. She's a bit of a rude girl. So, you know, she's really like that all the time, like, you know, so it's been really good for me. It's fun. And I get to be something that I'm totally not. But the accent is hard. But once you're in it, it just comes naturally. So, yeah.
And you love the music and the dance as well. And have you got a favourite part of the show for you?
Yeah, I love the finale. And I think most people will love the finale when they come to see it. It just basically turns into a big concert. And I love all my scenes with Shlomo, played by Harry. We have a really good relationship, me and him. And so all of it, really. I do love In LA as well because it's a totally different, it's really emotional and really hard hitting, that song. So I'm very lucky. I've got an amazing part to play. Yeah.
And you mentioned some of the other cast members there, because obviously you're old and young, you have teachers, you have students. And how has it worked out being on the road with these people? Because, as you say, you're new to this. Have they brought experience that's been able to help you and continue coaching you in the role?
Yeah, they do. And what's quite interesting is because I'm playing the lead, I'm still very much one of the babies. So I get my own dressing room and stuff, and I'm like, huh? But then, you know, you have your daddies and your mummies, and, you know, Landy, who plays Miss Sherman, for me is an inspiration. And every single day that she's on stage, every single night, I get shivers. I think she's amazing. And, you know, when I'm down or I'm stressed, she just straight away picks you up. Like, you know, that's what she does. And the two teachers, male teachers, they're like daddies of the tour as well, so we're one big family. So yeah, they're passing on their experience to us, and it's great.
Now, this is your second stop around the country. Obviously you've got a massive tour throughout 2014. Wolverhampton though must be one of the highlights, because I know it is a great theatre and I know performers enjoy playing here. You've had a chance to do run throughs and things yet, because we're ahead of the performance so far. Is that all come this afternoon for you?
We haven't even stepped foot on stage yet. Mondays are quite stressful because we have to get in the theatre, tech it all, and we won't actually do the show on that stage till tonight. We'll get to block a few numbers. But for instance, for me, in LA, which is a huge thing, that will be the first time I do it tonight on this stage. So, yeah, bring it on.
It'll work. It'll be brilliant. And the scenery, and how does that work as far as staging something like this goes? Because you've got to, again, transport people to both the New York streets, I suppose, as well as the actual school itself.
The set designed by Diego, who is incredible. You have to use your imagination. We're not setting up with classroom. This is the classroom. This is this. This is that. We have trucks which we move around to different positions, and we create the scenery, you know. And the backdrop is basically New York, and it's all different, multicolored, and it basically brings you to New York the moment you get into the theatre. But it's really clever staging. I think once people come and see it, they'll realise that, you know, it's sort of a metaphoric way of doing it, I guess, the way we've done it. So.
But it brings it all to life on stage, and they take it in with it, with all the magic of the singing. Yeah.
Definitely. Even our like beginning opening, to, you know, everyone has that thing to get your phones off. We've got Joe Vegas like, yo, everybody, I want you to turn your phones off. We take you there as soon as you get into the theatre, and yeah, people will enjoy it. They'll love it.
I'm sure they absolutely will. It's Wolverhampton Grand Theatre, the 3rd through to the 8th of March, 01902 429212. To book tickets, go to grandtheatre.co.uk, and you can get yourself down here, and the performances throughout the whole week, and well worth enjoying the magic on stage that is Fame the Musical. Jodie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I've never stepped into the downpour. I stand between raindrops, hearing their heartbeats and breathing the petrichor, breathing the petrichor. The sultry sky sent me 10,000 love letters. You never knew, all I needed was you. How could I know? And how could she know me when I never once met her? I never once met her. Once met Basil Jet, the prince of affection. He craved glory but hated attention from 10,000 plumbers, their endless questions. They honored and badged him imperial style, reflecting your pitter-pat tears in a smile. You weren't even worthy a cursory. I'd have liked him better. He'd shut his mouth and just listen. Some more he'd smell petrichor, petrichor, petrichor. His body would ripple, he'd fall to the floor. And what did he dream but a labyrinth of brick, where he'd roam in a rain, where he'd roam in. Downpour, I stand between raindrops, hearing their heartbeats and breathing the petrichor, breathing the petrichor.
The sound of the ladies and 10,000 letters of love.
Martin Austwick, hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you doing? You all right?
I'm very well, thanks for having me on.
No problem, it's good to have you with us, and you're joining us via the magic of Skype, which always makes voices sound a bit strange and interesting, so it's like an effect, but as we mentioned last time you were on, normally we hear you with reverb on the Answer Me This podcast, as well as all your other work too, so it's almost like that. It's you have to have an effect, otherwise you don't turn up. Is that how it goes?
That's absolutely right, yeah, I have to be a little bit. Distorted. My normal voice is a bit boring, so I have to up a bit.
So what's going on with the sound of the ladies at the moment then? Because you have been working hard and there is actually a new album coming out soon.
Yeah, so I've got a sort of collection of songs I've been writing over the last couple of years. I get asked to do gigs all over the place, little sort of funny little one-off gigs, and I'll write songs specifically for the gig, and I've got about a dozen of those that I thought I'd put them together and put them out because... Yeah, I like the nice songs. People might like them.
So it's a waste, else, isn't it? If you only use it for that one gig and then you never see it again.
Well, I do sort of recycle stuff a little bit, but you know, it's nice to get them out into the world. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. The sort of 20 people that came to the gig will hear it, and nobody else.
They're just very, very special people. So how do you balance everything else with the songwriting these days? Because obviously you've got the day job, you've got the podcasting, and yeah, we know podcasting can take a lot out of your life. And then you're producing music too and gigging.
Yeah, well, I'm not gigging that much. I had a gig last week and it was the first one for quite a long time. So I'm not doing that much gigging. And I'm doing bits and bobs of writing. I guess that's because I sort of... It seems like, you know, you put an album out and it seems like that's a lot of work, but it's sort of built up over months and months and months, and you know, writing a song every month or every 2 months, that's actually not too bad. So the answer is sort of spread everything out and everything incredibly slowly.
I suppose if you enjoy it as well, it's not like, you know, going to your day job where you might be a bit fed up of it, but, you know, because you enjoy this, it's a hobby, isn't it? Well, not a hobby, but, you know, you're not going to... You're going to enjoy writing all these songs and gigging and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it still can get a bit boring. I mean, just sort of booking gigs and you know, going, oh, I haven't written a song for a while, I should probably write a song. It can turn into a bit of a chore unless you make it fun.
Yeah.
Especially if you're writing stuff that you like. If you've written a bunch of songs that you're like, oh, actually, I'm quite pleased with that, then the next time you write a song, you think, oh, I better not make it rubbish. Because I'm going to be really disappointed with myself.
But you've used science as your theme in the past. Has the current album, you say it's a collection of songs, is there a hint of something in there that which links it all together?
Well, some of them are science songs. So there's a track which I think we'll hear called You're No More Than a Mile from the Beach.
Which will be up next, yep.
which is a nice, which is it's sort of a science song, but not really. So like it's a song about science, but it's not as direct as some of the other ones. Some of the ones have been about, you know, historical figures like Mendeleev, who found the periodic table of elements, or Gutenberg, who invented the printing press. But this one is more like a kind of just about an idea about science. So it's about I read this thing about that the amount of oil that we burn every year could be made into something like $3 trillion worth of stuff. So if we didn't burn it, but we made it into, you know, plastic or paint or whatever it is, we could have $3 trillion worth of stuff, and that just goes up in smoke. So I thought, what else do we do that's like that, where we've got this resource that is really complicated and has really rich and it can create really complicated things from it, and we just do something simple with it? So this song starts with a story about like taking all the computers in the world and taking all the silicon chips and then grinding them down to make sand so you can have a beach. Because that's about as silly as like burning oil. So it's like it's sort of quite a like high concept idea. So it's sort of about science, but like if you listen to the song, you wouldn't know that it was about, you know, about anything really very scientific. So I'm still inspired by science, but I tend not to write the very direct like life stories of famous scientist type songs anymore.
But I mean, often we get banned through, and it is all love, or it is all a specific theme. So science is a nice different one, and it does reflect your life and what goes on around you. And I think since we last spoke, you have got married to Helen Zaltzman, who we actually spoke to about 6 months ago. I think it is that long ago. And do you think the marriage has changed your outlook on your music, or has it just meant you haven't had time to do it as much?
No, it hasn't really changed. I mean, because we were together for such a long time before we were married. I mean,
she was used to you, yeah.
We've been together for 12 years. So the sort of marriage anniversary isn't as significant to us as the anniversary of us sort of getting together at college, mm-hmm. which was, you know, 3 years is pretty good for a marriage, but, you know, 12 years is the real milestone. So, no, I didn't feel like that much has sort of changed in that respect.
And every once in a while, I see you pop up in the Midlands when you're doing something, because your accent gives the hint that you are from this neck of the woods.
That's right. Well, I was born in Birmingham, but I spent most of my formative years in Telford and going to school in Newport. And my folks live up in the Midlands, so I'm up there every once in a while to visit them. So,
Does this mean we'll ever get a gig somewhere this way if you happen to feel like it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if someone wants to book me.
Okay.
With having a few round the Midlands area while you're visiting relatives and things, couldn't you?
Yeah, I should do. I'm always a bit disorganised about that. I know that's what sort of, you know, proper musicians do, and they plan their holidays and then get a few gigs while they're on holiday and things like that. But I'm never quite sort of organised enough to do that, unfortunately.
Well, we'll have to see what we can sort out. I shall talk to you about that one a little bit later on. So the album, when is this out, and how do we get a hold of it?
That's a really good question. The answer is I haven't quite decided yet. Fairly soon, it will be on my Bandcamp page or on my website. If you go to thesoundoftheladies.com, which is the website I use for all my music, there'll be a link to it there. So I'm not quite sure when it's out yet, because I've got to work out things like how I'm going to release it and what the sleeve's going to be. And I might end up drawing my own album sleeve for this one, and so I need to work out how long that's going to take. So, I don't... Soon.
So is it going to be like a proper CD that people can purchase, or is it just your downloads? Are you hoping to get some CDs to sell?
He's modern, he can do downloads. It's fashionable.
I know a lot of people do still like the CDs, don't they?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question, because I like a physical thing, and I want to make a nice sort of... for the last album I did...
There was papercraft involved, wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly. So the 10,000 Letters of Love comes from an album called The City of Golden Ed, and I made a little pop-up CD sleeve with a little cityscape in it.
Oh,
and that was really satisfying. I really enjoyed doing that.
You can't do that digitally.
I don't really like CDs. They're just a bit plastic and tacky, aren't they? And they're sort of a bit unnecessary now.
So do you want to do vinyl, though? Is that the route you'd like
to take? Well, no, because no one listens to vinyl, do they? I have a few vinyl records, but only sort of like old people, really old people, and like pretentious young people listen to vinyl. And so I don't want to just, you know, sell my music to people who are very old and very pretentious. So, I don't know. I haven't really made my mind up. I don't know really how it works in the 21st century. I don't know if I just give people a USB stick.
That means I have bought singles on USB sticks in the past, and it didn't quite have the same magic for me.
It's not the same, is it?
No.
It's just and rubbishy, and I kind of want something a bit bigger, but know, people don't really use vinyl. It's a bit, and it's very expensive to make. I couldn't, you know, I don't sell tons of physical albums, so I couldn't make a sort of I couldn't break even on a vinyl print run because it's well expensive. You have to get quite a lot of printed. So I don't really know. I haven't really worked it out yet.
So it'll arrive in some form, possibly, definitely digitally, and you'll be able to find out all about it at thesoundoftheladies.com.
Absolutely correct.
And that's the way to do it. And
this is on a need-to-know basis, Jason.
Okay. And and where else can we find you? Because you've got blogs and things as well, haven't you?
The Sound of the Ladies is the main place for music. What else? I have... if you're interested in my academic work, I have an academic blog, which is called Sociable Physics. And that talks about the sort of work I do, which is data visualization and cities and things like that. I have another podcast called Brain Train, which is where academics and experts ask each other questions. But the trick is that they ask a question of an expert outside their field. So I'm a physicist and I might ask an English expert who Shakespeare was. And then the next week, the Shakespeare expert asks a biologist why glowworms glow. So it's all asking someone in a totally different field. So everyone, one week is an expert, and then the next week they're a complete novice.
Oh, that's good.
That's called Brain Train.
Yeah.
So that's worth listening.
That certainly sounds it. I haven't found that one yet. I've missed out there. Apologies.
That's all right. So there hasn't been one for a little while, but that's there's about a year's worth of material.
It's a good back catalogue online.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that if you just Google Brain Train podcast, that should come up. Of course, there's Answer Me This, which is the podcast that I do with my wife Helen and our friend Ollie, and that's answermethispodcast.com. And it's probably various other things if you sort of search around a bit.
Just look for the hairy physicist and you'll be able to find all sorts of weirdness.
Look for the guy with the beard and glasses, that's right.
Yeah. Martin, good to speak to you. Thank you for sharing your music, and in particular the couple of tracks we'll hear from the brand new, as yet to be possibly released sometime in some format album. And what is the title of the album again?
The new album is going to be called A Period of Intermittent Rain.
You see, I didn't even know whether it'd have one of those. So I think you now ought to release it in some sort of cloud. That's got to be the way, hasn't it?
That's a good idea. Yeah. I presume you don't mean like the Amazon cloud, you mean like a physical...
I think a physical cloud.
Cloud.
Yeah, I think...
And then it will bring music off the listener.
Yes.
That's a challenge.
There we go. If you can work out the physics of that, I'll take a cut as well. Okay. So that could be good. And we will take a listen to that song now with all those grains of sand on the beach, which you're never more than a mile from. Martin, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me, Jason. Sorry.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Dragged all the computers from our homes and offices, stamped down on them angrily until our circuits buckled, warped and split. Like a Jacob's cracker, their brains crumbled in our hands. So we took all of these microchips and smash them up to make a load of sand. We put it all together to make the silver sand dunes in the Thames estuary. From Parliament to Essex, they're the only thing that's holding back the sea. Sunbathing, people do, they come for miles around. Can't quite see the ocean, you can hear the waves as they're crashing down. We got all of the aspirin, ground it down to make fake silver linings for artificial clouds, to spruce up gala openings of large sporting events where the thousands congregate to shout inside a tent and cry. They cry and when it rains, Books for trees and newspapers for grass. People walk among the inky leaves that once upon a time were words. And occasionally these bookworms will be carried off by overzealous birds.
Ladies, you're never more than a mile from the beach.
And we'll have more from Martin in his Sound of the Ladies, guys, in a moment or two's time. Meanwhile, this year sees the 6th biannual Brood Music Festival. To tell us more about it, Vice Chair of the Committee, Angus Parker, hello.
Hello, Jason, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
All right. Excited, I think, is the word we're using.
Looking forward
certainly
to it.
And I love the email that comes through around this time and every 2 years, and it's, will you come and help us out on the day? And I'm looking forward to the big Saturday night event at St Dominic's. But the Brood Music Festival is about much more than that, isn't it? So what have you got happening this year?
Well, as you know, and you've been here before, it's a community event where we try to provide a variety of different types of music genre. How about that? Do you like that?
It's good, that genres is always a good word. We haven't used it yet today, because normally...
Yeah, there we are, then, you see. We've got a wide range of music tastes in South Staffordshire, and we try and cater for them all.
So it all gets going on Thursday night, doesn't it?
It does. It gets going on Thursday night, and we start the first event, which is a free event, and it's called Brood Music Festival Introduces. And the idea, concept behind this is to introduce brand new young artists or bands to the festival.
So brand new fresh music on Thursday the 10th of July.
Yeah.
And where is the venue for that one?
That's in the Jubilee Hall, in the Village Hall in Brood.
And that is a nice venue as well. Mm. I did one event down there with you a while back, and that was really, really good.
It's quite large as well, isn't it?
Yep, it is. We can get up to comfortably 180 people in there. It is a free event, so we're going to be advising people to come early. Otherwise, they won't be allowed in.
Mm. So, have you already got the lineup for the people that are going to be there?
No, we haven't yet.
If you're a young musician that wants to perhaps get their foot on the gigging ladder, they can. That's the place to go.
And what we're actually doing this year is inviting people to put themselves forward on our Facebook page. And another member of our committee, Dottie Tipton, is in charge of that particular event on the Thursday night. And she will, with a colleague, look at them, listen to them, and then select the best ones for the Thursday night.
So all you need to do, pop along, like the page, and let everybody know if you're in a band and you want to be there. So that's just searching for Brood Music Festival in Facebook. That's nice and easy. What's coming up on the 11th?
Right, on the Friday night, we have, it's as good as ever, probably better than ever. It gets better each time we do it. And we have Trevor Burton and his band. Trevor Burton, as you know from the Move, performing at the Swan. We then have another band. They're a top covers band from Manchester called Rubicon. Not to be confused with the Rubicons.
Who have played in the past.
who you've played in the past, yeah. They're performing in the British Legion. There's a band called Urbane. They're an electronic 80s band. They'll be performing at the Bridge Pub. Whalebone, a folk trio from the Bridge North area will be performing at Brew Cricket Club. We've got Becca, a young girl, performing at the Lion Hotel. Jamie Davey from South Staffordshire is at the Mess. And then, of course, we've got a function in the church. With the bell ring is actually ringing in, officially, the music festival. And then we have a classical evening in the church, which precedes what goes on in the pubs.
Oh, there's so much, isn't there? So you could literally go from pub to pub, couldn't you? Have a drink.
You could.
And listen to different music.
Different music. We've hopefully got a taste for everyone.
And the timings for all of those will be on the website as well as ticket prices?
They'll all be on the website, you know, together with the general description of what the band are about and what type of music the public can expect.
Okay, so give us that web address before we head on to what's happening on the Saturday night. So where can people find that listing now?
broodmusicfestival.com.
And we will talk more about the website in a moment or two. But on to Saturday the 12th, and this is the big night where everybody turns up at St Dominic's.
Well, it is. And we're very proud and privileged to present Top Loader, who have reformed 18 months ago. I went to see them recently at the Robin 2, and they are a well-accomplished band and top quality.
I mean, they're great centre. I actually saw them live in the Little Civic way back when, and they'd actually booked that gig before Dancing in the Moonlight hit the charts, and it was absolutely rammed because suddenly everybody wanted to see them. But even songs like, you know, like Achilles Heel, they've got some fantastic, great melodies, brilliant tunes, and well worth coming along to see them. And I should think in a live venue that like St Dominic's and actually playing in such a big open space on a great stage, they're going to sound absolutely awesome.
They will. And as you say, Achilles Heel, Breathe, just to name a few. And also some of the later stuff, Turn It Around and This Is The Night. So it's going to be a good night with them. And they're being ably supported by, you know, what we best describe as a legendary musician, Glenn Tilbrook, you know, the co-front man from Squeeze.
It's going to be a really, really good night again. And obviously, we've got a bit of Northern Soul between the acts as well.
We have. We've got A.D. Shaw and the Seven Soul Club from Wellington in Telford coming. And they will be interacting with yourself, as you've done in the past, and providing the music, Northern Soul, between the changeover of the acts on the Saturday night, which went down extremely well last time.
Oh, very good. And how much are ticket prices for that one?
Ticket prices at the moment are £20, which can be purchased locally in the Mess restaurant in Brood. However, on the website, they are £25. But we've only got a limited number of the £20 tickets, and then they will go up. So my advice to people is to get in early.
Get in early.
Don't be disappointed.
Get to the Mess restaurant in Brood and do it that way.
Three other acts on the Saturday night as well, if I can mention them. We've got Lawrence Jones, a young blues singer-guitarist from Shipton-on-Stour. We've got a cracking reggae band, six-piece reggae band, young lads from Leicester called By the Rivers, who have got some superb write-up on them. And we've also got a young Stafford band called Neomantics, opening up the
Neomantics are brilliant. They've been in here.
We
like them.
You've had them.
Yes, they've been on the show. So Jamie and the gang and the band and Andy and Amy and I can't remember the name of the other one. They're all good. It's fantastic.
Highly recommended.
Yep, certainly. So
we've also got Saturday lunchtime slots. We've got another folk gig on at the Swan, and we've got the wonderful Steve Ajayo and his jazz quartet from Birmingham, actually performing in the Three Stirrups.
Now, didn't I see them at the event we had at another pub in Brood last year?
You did. We had the Blues Festival, and it was a Steve Ajayo blues band, the Blues Giants.
And they were absolutely brilliant as well.
Yeah, well, he's also got a jazz quartet, which is totally different. And they're coming on the Saturday lunchtime to the Three Stirrups pub.
Right, on to Sunday the 13th, because this is once again another big community day.
It is. We've got some fantastic variety of acts lined up for the Sunday. we've got a band called Jeremiah Johnson and the Disciples, mm-hmm. who are opening up the afternoon for us. We've then got an assortment of blues rock. We've got an authentic 50s rock and roll band called Chicken Shack Boogie Boys. We've got some keys and brass. We've got some street entertainers. We've got an illusionist coming from Stourbridge. And we've also got a scratch choir, which is where we invite members of the community to put their hands up to sing the day before, practice, and then they're then invited up onto the stage on the Sunday to sing in front of the village.
Oh, how scary. I don't think I'd be scary. Going for that one.
It's scary, that is. It is a bit scary.
So, when it comes to tickets for all of these events and all the details, once again, it is the website you can find this on?
It's the website, broodmusicfestival.com. It'll direct you to the mess restaurant in the village centre of Brood if you want to have a drive over to collect your tickets personally and pay £5 less than on the internet. But as we've said, that's only for a limited time, and the tickets will be going up to £25 eventually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's going to be a brilliant event. I know that. I'm looking forward to it immensely. I'm so grateful for the fact you let me come along and work on it as well. I really do appreciate that, because it is great seeing live music in a brilliant setting.
As you know, Jason, we always link it to a local charity.
Yep.
And the charity this year is the First Responders.
Great. So that'll be good. And it is important in particularly rural areas that you get someone to you quickly if something goes badly wrong, isn't it?
Exactly right. Yeah. So it's a well worth the cause.
Angus, thank you for joining us. And we look forward to the event on the starting on the 10th through to the 13th of July.
Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Let's take another song from the Sound of the Ladies. This is I Wanna Be a Horse.
Might have been little more than a fleeting impression. Blur across my vision, smeared by a racing train. From the corner of an eye, staring at a laptop. On a cross-country journey, through intermittent rain.
I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse.
I'd run all over the place. And if a person tried to ride me, I would whinny in their face. If I had hooves I couldn't type Ruby every day, but I'd still converse in binary, but in a more leisurely way.
I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse.
Make microprocessors with water troughs and cups. We'd send data packets out just using our feet. And I'd be a horse computer programmer, and the process would repeat.
I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse.
the sound of the ladies, I Want to Be a Horse, here in the Milk Bar. You were giggling when you had to say it beforehand.
I was, yeah.
I like that. It's an interesting song. That was cool. Right, let's go back to the phone lines, where this time we find Pete Moody. He's the site awareness coordinator from the Beacon Centre for the Blind. Hello, sir.
Hello, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. You could self?
I'm all right, thank you.
Splendid, splendid.
Yeah. Disclaimer first, I've known you for nearly 20 years now,
yes,
haven't I?
Yes, you have, yeah.
And then this press release came about what was going on at the Beacon Centre for the Blind. I thought, there can only be one Pete Moody. And it turns out there is.
Well, who works there? Yeah, I'm sure there are others around.
No,
yeah.
There is only one Pete Moody. That's
I'll go along with you. That's fine. That's fine.
So, back into professional mode. And you've got some interesting events taking place down at the Beacon Centre, because you are inviting people in for lunch for a very reasonable price for the chance for some groups to see what goes on down there.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things I do in my role at Beacon is I talk to community groups, lots of community groups that meet locally, just to let them know what happens at the Beacon. And it would be sort of talking to groups. People were often talking about the lunches that they were going on. Different groups go out for lunches. And I thought, well, Beacon could offer that facility as well. So we put it to a few groups, how they would feel. And I said, yes, that sounds a good idea. So on the back of that, we launched the Beacon Lunch Club, which is an opportunity for community groups to come up to the centre, have a little look around, have a tour around, see the facilities, understand a little bit more about sight loss. They can always pop into the charity shop as well, have a look in there, and then have lunch in our restaurants. So it's a nice sort of few hours for some community groups to come up. Day lasts from about 11 o'clock through to about 2:15, and so far it's going very well.
And what's normally on the menu for lunch? And is this the reason why you're doing it, so you can go and eat with them?
No. I actually don't get a free lunch out of it. No. So
what's the best lunch day? I mean, do they do like a regular menu that they turn over every couple of weeks?
No, the menu can change on a daily basis, but it's a selection of starters, a selection of main courses, a meat dish, a fish dish, that's difficult to say that, isn't it, a fish dish, and a vegetarian option, plus other options as well, and a choice of dessert as well. So it's a varied menu, and it can cater for, you know, all sort of diets, really. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone got any special dietary requirements, just let us know first, and we can cater for that.
Oh, sounds nice.
And as well as this sort of event, obviously, there's a lot of things taking place down at the Beacon Centre for the Blind, because often people don't understand what the centre does and how it not only has got, you know, places for people to stay, you know, there are day visits, it can help with respite care. There's an array of different ways of the Beacon Centre being part of people's lives in the area.
Yeah, I think the world of sight loss is a little bit off the radar sometimes, and you know, what we want to try and do is get out to different people, different groups, just to simply let them know what actually goes on at the Beacon Centre. That, for argument's sake, the majority of people who use the facilities have some degree of sight loss, as opposed to being perhaps loss of total vision, i.e. being blind. So there are many groups that I go and talk to and speak to, and I sort of explain about some of the eye conditions, what the limitations in sight are, what the implications of that are. And there's so many people who say, you know, actually, I know someone who has that. And I actually have that. I get, even today, doesn't matter where I've been, but I've spoken to a group today. And today, again, I've had the same thing. People come up to me and say, I had no idea you did that. And could you tell me more about this? Because I know someone, you know, who could benefit from that. Mm. There's a lot of people with sight loss. The implications, the knock-on effect, people perhaps don't fully understand it if they're not affected by it, but there are a lot of people, and nearly every group I speak to, someone knows someone with sight loss.
Yeah. And I suppose a lot of people perhaps might not know that the Beacon Centre is there, and I suppose it's, you know, it's nice having, because they have got fantastic facilities there, but you obviously need the people to come and use them to be able to help them.
Yeah, well, we just simply for people to be aware of what goes on there. For argument's sake, one of our services is what's called the Low Vision Service, which is a free advice service that people who are having perhaps difficulty with the sight, they can go along and get a little bit of free advice. And that's all the free service. And there's equipment that people could try out and use. And if they want to, and I suggest only if they want to or they need to, they can purchase equipment as well. Simple things like talking watches, talking clocks, diaries with bold print on. Big button telephone. There's some remarkable mobile phones around at the moment with apps you call them, isn't it, Jason?
He's
the man who knows his technology. But no, there's been some remarkable mobile phones that have built-in magnifiers, lights. They can sort of scan and then read for you. So very, very clever pieces of equipment, but very simple pieces of equipment. And sometimes it's just simple things that can make a difference to people. So, you know, people don't realise that that service is there and people can come in, the public can come in and just clearly make an appointment on something like that because it's quite a busy part of the organisation. But there's free help and advice to people having difficulty with the site.
Yeah, I mean, it may be that perhaps they don't realise exactly how bad the site is until they get something which improves how they can do a certain job, and then they suddenly realise, well, my site is quite bad. Perhaps I need a bit of help with it.
I think there's a bit of an emotional journey, isn't there, when you start to lose your sight, I guess, and maybe a denial or not wanting to do something about it, or and then there perhaps comes a point where you feel you perhaps need to. So the Beacon Centre is there offering a little bit of free advice for people, and then there are other things as well, but I think that free advice service is something when I talk to people, that's when they start to ask about that because it affects them. For argument's sake, I was just showing someone today just a simple device, just a little plastic sticker. That's all, a little bump, a little plastic bump that a lot of people use, and it's a tactile piece of equipment. You can just, a lot of people use them on cookers, for argument's sake, so then they turn the dial. They can find the level they want via putting a little plastic bump on there. So that's what some people use them for, and just simple things. And people are quite intrigued about that. And someone came up to me today and said, that's the sort of thing. He didn't want to use it for a cooker. He wanted it for something else, but that's exactly the sort of thing that his brother needed. So there's always someone out there needing these sort of services. The thing is, sometimes they don't realise it, and sometimes they don't realise that the services are there.
Yeah.
First of all, if you're a group who would like to come along and would find it to be useful to come for the tour and have lunch, how do people get in touch for that one?
Well, you can give me a call, 01902 880111. That's a nice easy number, isn't it? Yep. 880111 at the Beacon Centre. And a tour would be... lunch is great. We like people going for lunch, but there's a tour included as well. But we want people to have a look around just so they know what the Beacon Centre does. We'll have a look at the activity centre to see some of the events going on there. We'll look at some of the low vision equipment. And then people can have lunch. And as I say, often people like to pop in and have a look at the charity shop as well. So community groups can have a nice few hours at the centre. It's a pleasant day out. And I hope when people leave, they've had an enjoyable lunch. And I hope they know a little bit more bits about the services and a little bit more about sight loss as well.
And how much is it for the lunch?
£5.95 per person.
Ooh, that's not bad at all.
Zoe's going to book herself in.
That includes the tour. I mean, that's for the day out. We hope, as I say, we hope people have a nice lunch and an enjoyable day, but it's about raising awareness of what services are there for local people.
And if somebody wants to look at a website, whether it be for themselves through one of the readers that allow people who are partially sighted to be able to follow websites and the like, or whether it's something that you're looking at for a friend, colleague or a family member, where do they go to find out more details?
I'll just get online, beaconforblind.co.uk.
So beaconforblind.co.uk, and it's the number 4 in the middle there, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So, Pete Moody, thank you for joining us. Thank you for that bit of an audio tour then. And long may you be continuing to show people around and share the services that you have down there.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jason. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
The final track then today from The Sound of the Ladies, 100 Years of Solitude.
Century from the day they married, from the mountain we heard gunshots in the valley. They jumped into the river, a whole raindrop nation, and the river threw itself into the thirsty ocean. Smoke of wood and smoke of tin wrapped around, clasped hand in hand. I was born out of the water, I fell down upon this charcoal land. but you won't always be mine. You won't always be my home. There's a bridge far to the south that no one dares to cross, and on the other side lies a land of love and loss. They have cities there and flying machines, and one day I will go to this place I've only seen in the fleeting moments between angry wakefulness and fitful sleep. Walk atop the slaty mesa, stare into the grey ravine so deep. But you won't ever be mine. You won't ever be my home.
The Sound of the Ladies with 100 Years of Solitude, and that was from Martin's previous album, which is actually inspired by Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Very nicely said, Jason.
I think that's the pronunciation. It's close enough, it'll do the job. Well, thank you for joining us this week. Been good to have you with us.
It has indeed.
That's all lovely. Yes. And we will catch up with you again soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.